Praise God. Hopefully everyone's doing well, doing awesome. You know, it's nice weather. It's summertime. So I'm just glad to be home. I was in Canada this weekend, and I'm here today and gone tomorrow. No, not, I'm here for a few days. I leave on Saturday. I'm preaching quite a bit. I'll be traveling quite a bit here coming up. I'm in South Dakota this weekend, and so a lot of great things happening. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15, Luke the 15th chapter, and we're going to look at a story that most people call the prodigal son story, but really the story is about two different sons, not just one. And just to let you know, when Jesus was talking and gave this parable, Luke chapter 15, verse number 1 says this: tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. Now, I want to say this. Tax collectors are not like IRS agents, okay? Tax collectors are more like the mob, okay? I just want to let you know, you know, back in those days, a tax collector is kind of really not an upright person. But it says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people and even eating with them. So really, the story about the prodigal son, or the story about the two sons, really was to two different people: the sinners and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other UC's people. All right? And so I want to point that out. And if you want to know more about what I'm going to talk about, if you get my book, Don't Be Stupid, that is all about the prodigal son. It goes more in depth than we're going to go into today. But I just felt led to read this. It says this. I'm reading from the New Living. It says this: to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. A younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now, before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his two sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. Now, I'm going to stop there. First of all, it's not very normal for a son to ask for their inheritance before their dad dies. All right? You know, in fact, basically, pretty much the son was saying, you know, Dad, I just wish you're dead. And now, actually, if you read that really this was... this was a crime punishable by death. I mean, that they could have actually, but the father decided to go ahead and do what the son suggested. I mean, divide his inheritance between the two kids. Now, the way things worked in that time, the oldest son got 2/3, the youngest son got 1/3. So basically, this younger son went to his dad and said, Dad, I'm tired of living here. I wish you were dead, so can you just give me my money and let me go on? I mean, you know, I'm not sure what, you know, a father would think if that happened to them, but the father went ahead and did it. And instead of the son, you know, deciding to stick around, he decided to go to a far-off land. You know, and I don't believe it was the son's intention to go and squander all his money. I think it was the son's intention to say, you know what? I'm going to show my dad that I can go become something. You know, I can make something of myself. It says this. It says, a few days later, the son packed all his belongings and moved to distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. All right. Now, let me say this. He didn't spend the money all by himself. All right. The people he associated with caused him to spend all that money. And I'm here to tell you, if you inherit a bunch of money, everyone wants to be your friend. All right? You know, like if someone wins the lotto, I mean, they have all these friends that just pull, you know, people haven't talked to in 20 years, all of a sudden, they're their best friend. You know, but this son, he surrounded himself with people that helped him lose his money. The people you surround yourself with is very important. You know, he could have surrounded himself with a lot of people that will help him invest his money, you know, become something, but instead he decided to surround himself with a bunch of people who didn't really care. They just want to spend his money. But you know what? Once all the money was gone, so were his friends. They weren't really his friends. They were just hanging around because the guy had some money. And, you know, but once all the money was gone, then, you know, everybody else was gone. It says, about that time, his money ran out. A great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Now, think about this. You realize that the pigs were unclean animals, especially to a Jewish boy. I mean, to be working with the pigs, I mean, that's like the lowest of low that you could do. But you know what? When you're starving, you're going to do anything you can just to make a little bit of money to maybe make ends meet. But it says, the young man became so hungry that even the pods that he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. So here was this kid. He spent everything he had. Evidently, he probably had quite a bit, and he spent it all on wild living or whatever else he did. Like I said, it wasn't just him and his buddies spent all their money. And now here they are. Here he is in a pig pen with nothing to eat. You know, I mean, the worst case scenario you could be. And it says this, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. Now, before I get to that, you know, I like the word says he come to his senses. You know, there comes a time that we should all come to our senses. Now, hopefully, you haven't spent everything you had and find up in a pig pen. But there are times in life that we, you know, because the world goes on and situations and circumstances go on, sometimes we get to a hard place and we forget that God's there for us. And he doesn't want us in that situation. At some point in time, when things begin to be difficult, we need to remember that I read John 10:10 a lot. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And if we're not living an abundant life, maybe we need to come to our senses and remember all the benefits that have been provided through Jesus Christ. You know, because there's a lot of times that maybe we're not in gross sin, but we forget about, you know, we forget about the, you know what, that God wants us healed. We forget about that pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We serve the God that's more than enough. You know, so many times we're just sitting around griping and complaining about the situation that we're in, but at some point in time, we need to come to our senses and remember, what does God's word say? Now, you know, you can get that on a t-shirt out in the bookstore. You know, my grandfather always says that God says it, I believe and it settles it. Or the Bible says it, I believe and it settles it. You know, what does the word of God say? The word of God says that you don't have to sit in the pig pen. The word of God says, you know, you don't have to be in that lowly old place. At some point in time, you need to remember what God's word says. Now, in this situation, here he was, this kid had spent everything he had, and here he was in a lowly old place, and he began to think about, you know what, even my father's servants have it better than I have. Now, I know when I go home, you know, because basically, you know, when I asked for my inheritance, I basically said, now, son, you're dead to me. You're no longer my son anymore. You know, it's all been done, but I'm going to go home and I'm going to just ask for forgiveness and ask that I can be a servant to my father. But whenever he went home, he found out that you can never be a servant because your dad loves you that much that he's not going to just let you be a servant, because it says this right here. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with the feast, for the son of mine was dead and now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party begins. See, there is nothing that you can do that can separate you from the love of God. No matter how bad you've been, no matter that you were in gross sin, I tell you what, all you have to do is come back to the Father and he will take you in, and you can no longer just be a servant. You're always going to be a son to him. I mean, you know, here in this situation, I mean, they said, you know, you might not have anything now because you spent it all, but I'm going to put a ring on your finger. I'm going to give you clothes. I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of, because that's how good our God is. No matter what we've done, because, you know, we've all come short in sin. We've all missed the mark at some point in time. But our God loves us so much that you know, it doesn't matter what we've done. He still loves us, and he still wants to put his arm around us and say, you know what, son, it's okay. It's going to be okay. And you know what? You know, I'm just glad you're back. I mean, like he says, my son was dead, but now he lives. See, whenever the son asked for his inheritance, basically his son was dead. He was out on his own doing whatever he was doing, but now he came back. And so that's a great story. And obviously Jesus was talking to the sinners about that. And many, we call it the prodigal son, you know, but the story doesn't end there. There's another boy that was also there. Now here's the thing. I don't know why the younger brother decided to take his inheritance and leave. If you read my book, I talk about some situations. Maybe he always felt that he was, you know, the lesser one. Maybe him and his brother didn't get along. I don't know, you know, why, but he left. But here they are. I mean, they killed the fatted calf and the party began. Verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother is back, he was told, and your father has killed the fatted calf. We are celebrating because his safe return. All right. So you would think the older brother would be excited. Hey, my younger brother's back. You know, but instead he wasn't excited. The older brother was angry and he wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And all this, that time, you never even gave me a young goat for a feast with my friends. He's like, Dad, you didn't even give me a goat, much less a fatted calf. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me and everything I have is yours. Now you realize if at first it says that whenever the younger son asked for his inheritance, it says, so the father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. So do you realize whatever was left actually was the older son's? The father had already divided the inheritance. At any point in time, the older brother could have had a party, could have killed the fatted calf because it was his. It already belonged to him. But you know what? Instead, he just was, you know, just a working. But when his brother came back, instead of rejoicing, he got mad. You know, sometimes us Christians, we get mad when somebody, I've heard people say, well, I'm a better Christian than them. How come God blesses them but didn't bless me? I mean, look, I've been in church all this time. He went away, he came back, and now God's blessing him. Why? Well, God loves him, but he still loves you too. But a lot of times, see, we're jealous. We're like, but instead of being jealous, we should be outgoing and making sure we go get our younger brother. I mean, we should go out and make sure, hey, those people who have fallen away, hey, you know what? You need to come back. And when you come back, you're not going to be a slave. You can come back and still be a son. But instead, a lot of times we're jealous. And that's why Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other UCs people, I always call them. You know, because those are people, the religious people, but really, you know, yeah, the younger brother squandered out everything he had, but the older brother was still lost in his way because he's like, you know, he basically was doing everything the father told him to do, you know, just out of whatever, but, you know, he wasn't enjoying life either. You know, I don't know, but he was jealous. Don't get jealous. Why should we be jealous? Why, we should be excited. When someone comes, you know, and rededicates their life to God, or someone comes to get saved, it should be an exciting time, and I believe it is. All right, but I know a lot of times people, sometimes when people get blessed, excuse me, sorry. Sometimes when people, you know, get blessed, that other people kind of get jealous and they're like, well, how come God blessed them, but he's not blessing me? Well, God wants to bless you too. Now, I always kind of joke around. I said, if you really want to be blessed all the time, I can tell you exactly how to get blessed all the time, every day. You know how you do it? You take some pepper, you put it on your nose, and you begin to sneeze. And if you do that, people will say, God bless you all day long. Okay, now it made everyone laugh. But, you know, when those people that say God bless you, they don't really care whether you get blessed or not. You realize that's just a habit. A habit if someone sneezes, we say God bless you for whatever. Now, I actually, after I said this, you know, number of times, I finally looked it up and find out why do people even say God bless you after people sneeze? And the reason comes down to the bubonic plague. Anyone ever heard of the bubonic plague? Kind of like COVID back in long time ago. The bubonic plague happened, and so when the bubonic plague happened, so when people started sneezing, the other people around them thought they might have caught the bubonic plague, and they're like, God bless you. Like, you know, hopefully you're going to make it okay. You know, so it wasn't like a really good thing. But if you want to be blessed all day long, pepper in your nose, it works fine. But God wants to bless you, whether you sneeze or not, by the way. God wants to bless you, you know, no matter whether you've went away and came back or whether you've been there all the time. He still wants to bless you. You know, sometimes, even if we've been in Father's house the whole time, we still need to come to ourselves and figure out, you know what, is this really a life that I want to live? I mean, is this really, am I living life and having it more abundantly? Now, see, this older brother could at any point in time had a party, did anything. I mean, all the stuff that his dad had all belonged to him. It was all his stuff. At any point in time, he could have said, hey, Dad, you know, and obviously this father was a really nice guy. I mean, he already gave his younger son his inheritance. So surely if this older son said, hey, Dad, I want to have a party, can we, you know, kill the fatted calf? Dad would have said, yeah, of course, obviously, it's your calf. You can kill him if you want to kill him. You know, he would have let him do whatever he wanted to do, but he, instead of been doing that, he was just going through the motions. You know what? Sometimes we should come to ourselves and decide, you know what? I'm going to live life and have it more abundantly. I'm going to have a great life. Amen. You know, now we all know the devil is trying to keep us from having a great life. I mean, you know, he's out there. And like I said, the younger son didn't really mean to squander all his money. I don't think it was his plan. I don't think he's like, you know what? I'm going to ask my dad for all his money, and then I'm going to go out, and I'm going to squander it all, and I'm going to end up in a pig pen. That wasn't his plan, okay? But a lot of times whenever we have a plan, things don't go as planned. We've all been there when things happen, you know, things don't go as planned. Maybe you didn't get as much money as this guy did, but there are times when you know what, we get some money or whatever, and we're thinking, man, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And before you know it, you already spent all your money. Do you realize that the amount of people who actually have won lottos that now have no money is huge? Because they didn't know what to do with it. I'm going to tell you, if you do get a bunch of money, a good thing is find somebody to help you invest the money. All right. Maybe buy some real estate or something like, I mean, do something with your money. But this kid just squandered all. And it matters who you hang out with. The people you associate with is very important. I think something we used to talk about in youth is what bad association corrupts good morals. It's over in Corinthians somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where the verse is, but I remember that was one of the things that my youth pastor, Kent Booth, would bring that up a lot. All right. The people who we associate with really helps us squander our money. Or helps us, save our money. Now, more than likely, this kid and I talk about, probably surrounded himself with a bunch of people his own age. Because that's what you do. If you're a young kid, you have a bunch of money, like, hey, let's just go party and have a good time or whatever, instead of surrounding himself with some wisdom. So sometimes it's good to surround yourself with the right people. But anyway, the father said, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. I mean, so our father loves us tremendously. And, and even whenever we mess up, now see what's going to happen. What happens a lot of times is that we get to a place, and unlike this kid where it says he came to himself, we get to a place and a lot of times we just squander, we stay there for 20 years. We don't come to ourselves. We stay in the pig pen for a long time, or what I said in my book, a stupid place. We get what we call the pig pen mentality. That's just the way life works. And two, sometimes we can have that mentality when we're not in gross sin. We've let life beat us down. We've let life get us to a situation where we forget what God, the whole reason Jesus came was to have life and have it more abundantly, but we're just letting life beat us down. And I tell you what, especially now in today's economy, everything costs a lot more money. Everything. It's amazing how much, how much things cost now. I've actually been on the telephone with a number of different people when, talking to someone, they're hang on, I'm going to order, they're at a restaurant or whatever, and then they're like, can you believe how much money it is just to buy a hamburger anymore and blah, blah, blah? Yeah, it's more expensive to buy a hamburger. Well, main reason is because it costs more for the beef, it costs more for wages. Because people can't find employees, so they have to pay employees more. So it's costing you more for a hamburger, costing you more for everything. And so people like get caught up in the day-to-day things and forget about that, God still wants to supply all our needs. And I've said it over and over again, but the Bible says that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, all my needs means all my needs. Or it doesn't mean half of them. Doesn't mean part of them. And also too, needs are also not just financial. A lot of times people think whenever that scripture is a financial scripture and we use it for that, but I might not need finances. I might need healing. All right? I might need a friend. I might just need a hug. I don't know. But my God wants to supply all my needs. All right? And I always say, when your needs go up, so does the supply. But do I expect his supply to go up? A lot of times I'm thinking, well, yeah, but how is God going to meet my need? I don't know how it's going to happen. The Bible doesn't tell you to figure out how. It says just ask him. It says that Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ask or think, God wants to bless us. Exceedingly abundantly, more. It says, you have not because they ask not. Ask what you will and it shall be done. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. All right? So a lot of times, too, we let the things in life get to us, and sometimes we need to come to our senses and decide, you know what? I'm going to quit getting angry about everything. That's the thing. This young man or this older brother, he was getting angry. And a lot of times we get angry about situations. As a Christian, we're angry about this, we're angry about that. You know what? Who cares? I mean, you know, why do you get angry about it? But things cost more. Okay, they cost more. I mean, what am I going to do about it? I mean, you know, I mean, that's just the way it works. Things are going to cost more. So what am I going to do? I'm going to have to stand in faith. I'm going to have to believe God. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, you know, I might have to cut back, you know, and maybe it wouldn't hurt me to eat less sometimes, you know, that's a whole other thing. And you don't have to go to Starbucks every day either. All right. I mean, you know, there's a lot of times we waste a lot of money. And actually places like Walmart want you to waste money. That's why they put some all kinds of items at the corners, you know, that way whenever you're like, oh man, I haven't seen that. I want to buy some of that stuff. And the bad thing about a place like Walmart, you can buy everything from underwear to tires, there. So probably a bad thing whenever you need a lot of stuff. And also, too, I always tell my people, first term, don't go to the grocery store hungry and you waste more money. That had nothing to do with the prodigal son. But you know, a lot of times, you know, when the things of the world go around, we need to come to ourselves and think, you know what? Our God's such a good God. I mean, you know, I mean, like I said, this was showing how good our Father is, that you're always his son. You're never his servant. I don't care how bad you've done. I mean, this kid messed up. He asked for all his full inheritance. Then he squandered it. I mean, you know, most people would say, well, my dad would have yelled at me. And, you know, the dad didn't even yell at him. Not one time. He didn't condemn him. Do you realize that even when he was afar off, it says the father went running to him. It didn't matter. I mean, you know, not one time. In fact, he, you know, you realize the father here did not condemn the kid who lost all the money, or he actually didn't even condemn the brother. All he just said, hey, your brother's back home. He was dead, but now he's alive. He didn't condemn either one of them, because you know what? Our Father doesn't condemn us. Our Father loves us no matter what. You know, and if we catch ourselves sometimes being like the older brother, you know, because there's sometimes we get jealous. I mean, I even have seen people, they read a testimony or a praise report or something, you know, and they almost get mad. Like, well, they don't deserve that. You know what? Thank God that we don't get what we deserve. I mean, you know, we're not here to get what we deserve, because God loves us that much. And the Bible says there's nothing is a compound word meaning no thing. There's nothing that will separate us from God's love. He loves us no matter what. And he loves us no matter what we've done. And I tell you what, if we're like the younger brother or like the older brother, God loves us no matter what. Whether we've been in the kingdom the whole time or we ran off and did who knows what, God still loves you. No matter what you do, God loves you. And he wants to see you succeed. Now, you know, like I said, you're always a son or a daughter, if you happen to be a female, you know, with the Lord. You're never a servant. No matter how bad you've been, no matter if you say, well, I only deserve to be a servant. Doesn't matter what you deserve. God loves us and gives us what we don't deserve. You know, and you know, every time that we get to a place where we're at a bad situation, we need to always remember what God's word says. Come to ourselves and remember, you know what? We can have it better. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to live in poverty. We don't have to live in this situation. And so, you know, I've said, maybe you're not in gross sin, but there are some times in life that we get away from God's word. All right, not saying we're in sin, but we forget, you know, the Bible says forget not all his benefits. We forget all the benefits that they came with salvation. Salvation is just not a, you know, boarding pass to heaven. Salvation gives us all kinds of things. You know, it gives us, you know, the ability to have health, to have wealth, to live life and have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus came. So whether you're like the younger son and came back, or whether you're like the older son and always been in the house, you know what? God loves you. We shouldn't be jealous of each other. But I tell you what, if you're like the older son, instead of being jealous about people, we should go out and try to win the lost. We should go out and try to find people that are hurting and bring them back to the kingdom. You know what? Tulsa probably has some of them. I mean, we have a lot of people that live in the city that are what we might consider backslidden. I mean, they grew up in church or whatever, and they kind of got away from that. I mean, Tulsa, you know, you probably have a hard time finding someone who doesn't know anything about the Lord, but you probably find there's a lot of people that know a lot about the Lord. They're just not where they need to be. But you know what? Instead of being like the older brother and saying, well, that person, they just deserve to rot in hell or whatever. No, they don't. We should go out and be a witness to this generation. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here in this room. And we thank you, Father, that we should all know how much you love us. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've gone. Father God, whether we've been in the kingdom the whole time, or whether we've gone off and squandered all our money, you still love us no matter what. And Father, we just thank you right now that whenever we're in a situation where we forget about the benefits and we forget about where we're at, where we come to that pig pen place, Father, we just thank you to help us all come to the realization, come to our senses, and know, you know what? Our Father loves us. He doesn't want us to be living like this. He doesn't want us to not have anything, but he wants us to be blessed. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here, and we just give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're here and you need prayer for anything, there's some gentlemen over here, ladies over there, whether it be salvation, whether it be healing, or whatever it might be, if you need prayer after we're dismissed, you come down here. If you're a lady, go see the ladies. If you're a gentleman, go see the gentleman. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you tonight. The connection team is in the aisle, and they want to take you to the north lobby real fast and give you a gift that we have for you guys. All right, God bless you. Don't forget, be here 10 o'clock Sunday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday night, and 7 p.m. every Wednesday night. Also, for young adults, normally at YA, you can come to Synergy. We have Synergy every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., upstairs, SCC2. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a great day.